Blog Talk Radio.
This is Westside Visions on blogtalkradio.com. I am Brother Tony Bullock with my co-host, Sister Eileen Reed. Sister Reed, are you there? Sister Reed, are you in the building? All right. Look like, as usual, we having a few technical difficulties with good old Blog Talk. But Sister Reed will be with us shortly. And in the meantime, and in between time, let me welcome everyone and say thank you for making our little show rather strong and positive and a voice worth listening to out there in the stratosphere. We really appreciate you having you with us, and we thank you for calling in, and we thank you for hitting us up and downloading our show and going back and looking at our archives, because we realize that you could be doing anything else. So we definitely appreciate it. I see that my co-host is trying to get in, so we're going to take a few minutes, talk about some things until she can. You know, here in America, like with everything else we do, now that Juneteenth has become a federal holiday, a holiday that was ignored by a lot of people, all of a sudden a lot of people want a piece of that pie because they are starting to realize that Juneteenth is a moneymaker. Sister Reed, are you there?
I am here, Brother Bullock. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, my sister.
All right, very good. What have I missed?
Well, you haven't missed much of nothing, just doing a little introduction and talking about the few technical difficulties we seem to be having today. And talking about how a lot of people kind of ignored Juneteenth until it became a federal holiday, and they realized, ooh, it's money in that holiday.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
So I hadn't talked about too much, and I was thanking the folks who go in and listen to our show on their own accord, and those who download it, and those who are taking an interest in it to use it for different things, and I really appreciate that.
And so do I. We do our research, and so we're very appreciative of all the folks who are listening and learning and following us on the show. We thank y'all.
And, of course, your number one fan club, those Roddy Girls from Texas, told me to tell you hello.
Hey, Roddy Girls. Hello from Fresno, California. Yes, indeed. I want to be an honorary Rowdy Girl. Thank you.
Yes,
thank
they have made you an honorary Rowdy Girl.
I appreciate it. I do. I appreciate it most sincerely.
You know
we have to be rowdy to survive in this world, so this is a good thing.
We don't have a choice. You know, it's funny, I was going through some of my social media feeds, and I ran across young sister who is a freshman in Congress in the House of Representatives by the name of Jasmine Crockett,
who
Lauren Boebert had the audacity to decide that she wanted to fuck up on this sister today And yeah, you know, that wasn't a good move on Lauren's part. Because,
so did this young sister prove to be a rowdy girl?
You know what? She is definitely, I'm putting her in the rowdy girls. Girl, she rode.
Okay.
She rode
okay.
for sisters old and new, and she represented the ancestors proudly.
All right now. All
and,
right.
I will definitely be sending you a link so you can check out
please.
What went down.
Dude.
But I'm telling you something. And you know this to be true yourself. We were raised, and we tried to raise that next generation to understand one thing. We got to be 2 to 3 times better than them folks there.
Yes,
certain things they do,
true.
We can't do.
True.
We got to make sure we dot every I, cross every T.
That's right.
We can't go out there and fake the funk. We got to be the funk.
That's right. That's right. And that's the thing. And if you come in for one of us, if you like today, Bober, if you come in for the queen, you best not miss. You best not miss. And it sounds
girl,
like she
gonna,
missed today.
I'm just going to say like my great uncle Dan used to say, she was foolish enough to bring a knife to a gunfight.
That's one of my
favorite
sayings.
It was not pretty.
Yeah.
It was not pretty. I sat there and watched that 3 times.
See?
Because the first time I watched it, I was like, okay. So I watched it again, like, Then the third time, I was like, okay, I see exactly what happened here.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
like some of our old school hood elders used to say, in order to get some ass, you got to bring some ass. Lauren didn't bring no
That's
ass.
That's right. That's
she
right.
Didn't bring
you got to bring ass. To kick ass, yes, this is true. This
she,
is very, very
that.
True.
She rolled in there, Miss 6 o'clock, Miss six o'clock, straight up and down, so they had an itch. She was not ready.
And so she had to limp away, huh? All right.
Man.
I love
she
it.
Had to,
I,
she had to
I
limp
forward,
away.
I look forward to that link because I didn't watch what I usually watch today. I had a friend from out of town visit, and she's only going to be here for a couple of days, and so I spent the afternoon with her, so I missed quite a bit, but I cannot wait to see this link and to experience this because, you know, especially during this season right now of Juneteenth, especially now, don't come for somebody like this unless, you know, you're going to come correct. And obviously, Bober didn't come correct because she limped away. She limped
Man,
away.
Man, did she limp away. You know, it is the weekend heading into Juneteenth, and tomorrow is Friday. So
tomorrow's Friday.
A lot of places here. You know, some Juneteenth celebrations started on the 15th. Some will pick up tomorrow, and major ones will go down Saturday. And from what I understand, some are running till the 19th.
Right.
But, you know, the
and
other side of that coin is. Oh, okay.
No, I was saying that seems to be true here in Fresno that they have turned Juneteenth into a festival. I think the opening ceremony was at the African American Museum in downtown Fresno, and that's I think the first and the last thing that's really happening downtown, except for maybe something in the middle. But I don't know, we're going to talk about the wisdom of turning Juneteenth into a festival and whether the wisdom of taking it out of our neighborhoods, but
we will be discussing that. But you know, heading into that, it always amazes me that someone always wants to raise that specter of, as much as y'all like to talk about Juneteenth, it really belongs to all of us, because if it wasn't for a white man, Juneteenth wouldn't have got off the ground. And when they say that, they are talking about June 19th, 1865, when General Gordon Granger was in Galveston, standing on Texas soil and declaring that, telling the people to General Order Number 3, declaring that all were free. But as you know, freedom was a long way off.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And there were gaps even in that, but we'll talk about that as well.
And quiet as it's kept, freedom still ain't got here and reared its head. It just looks that way.
We're going to talk about that too, because honestly, that was just for the states where chattel slavery was taking place. It did not include the territories. It took the 13th Amendment. The 13th Amendment that happened, I do believe, on December 6th. I believe it was 1863 or 65, but anyway.
1865.
Chattel slavery to be outlawed and abolished even in U.S. territory. So that was just the first step of what you're talking about with Juneteenth. So,
but it wasn't
just about a white man doing that, though, Brother Bullock. I mean, many historians have admitted, maybe reluctantly, that if it hadn't been for the addition of colored troops, black troops, in the Civil War effort, that it might have turned out differently. It might have turned out differently, but the black troops were, yes.
As quiet as it is kept, the North was getting they behind mopped.
Yep.
And until they had the foresight to allow black troops to fight and stop digging ditches and stop helping in medical tents and stop being cooks and actually get out there on the front lines and fight, that the tide of the war turned.
That's true. That's absolutely true. And I don't know if this is one of the many reasons that people like Ron DeSantis don't want black history taught in school, but there's no way for them to get around the fact that black history is American history. African-American history is American history. And I'm hoping over time, Juneteenth as a federal holiday will, secure that for a lot of people. But
the very thing that they're afraid of, black history being taught, understood, and learned, is the very thing that has saved this raggedy country. Let's just be honest. They talk about the space program, NASA. I've been there several times, down in Houston, Texas. I've also been a dentist in Alabama. Now, during the infancy of NASA, you can say what you want, but hidden figures was real.
It was real.
If it wasn't for them sisters and their brains and the mathematical skills, white folks still be lost in space.
That's right. They were Sister Johnson was called Katherine Johnson was called a human computer. And hey, it is what it is. That's
it
the
is
African
what it
American
is.
Brain power to get them to circle the moon. That's right.
You a cold piece of work when you smarter than the IBM computer that they spent all this money on.
Hello. That's right.
And she was cold-blooded that the astronauts got to the point where they didn't believe what the computer had to say.
That's
they
true.
They took her word over the computer.
She did it by hand.
On a pad with a pencil, or two pencils, and she kept it rolling.
And she kept it rolling. Certainly did. You cannot make up this kind of history. This is one of those things where truth is more fascinating than fiction, but the sister's real. So I hope people, in honor of Juneteenth weekend, will go out and check out Hidden Figures. If you haven't seen it before, go check out Hidden Figures and show it to your young people. Show it to your babies, because this is the real deal. Brother Bullock's right about that.
You know, I was talking to some younger folks today. One of the things that came up was making friends with today's non-black folks. And one of the questions I had was, so when you supposedly make friends, are they there for you? Or are they there when they feel they need something, want something, or looking for an accolade from you?
Mm-hmm.
And some of them had to really think about it. They had to really think hard about it. And one young sister told me, she said, you know, you just hit a real point. She said, because I never hear from this person until they have a problem with another black person.
Mm.
And I say, and that's when you need to cut it loose. Quit being the barrier.
Yeah.
Make them work it out. Because if they truly claim that they want to do what they want to do, they'll find a way to work it out without you.
Right. Well, it's some folks, you know, that don't look like us who want to be able to claim, well, I have black friends. And then they bring out their black friends, or they talk to their black friends about the kind of problem that you're talking about, Brother Bullock. And that's not how we should be picking our friends. You know,
nope.
It's not just about ethnicity. It's about real friendship.
It's supposed to be about real friendship and standing there with that person. I don't care what you go through. You say you my friend, we going through it. You know, and I can say this about you, Sister Reed. You've been my partner in crime since the fourth, fifth grade.
Long time.
We've been dogs a long time, and we ain't always. We've had our moments where we've had disagreements and got upset with each other. But in the end, we always come home. Why? Because we always know we got each other's back.
This is true.
And nothing comes before that friendship.
No, this is true.
I want to thank you for that, because I am not an easy drink to swallow. I have my moments.
As your friend, I'm leaving that alone. See, you saying that yourself.
Yeah,
you're not that
bad. The truth of the matter is, I can be honest about me. I know that I have some issues from time to time, and there are times when I need to stop talking to me, myself, and I.
Well,
but
I think all of us can say that. And, you know, when you're somebody's friend, you're supposed to be able to give that person a wide berth when it comes to some things. And sometimes it's a test of friendship if you can get over certain things and continue. But I like to say, and this is true about myself as well, you know, you're friends with somebody, you care about them not because of certain things, but in spite of certain things, because we've all got flaws. Every last one of us has flaws. So
that is a true statement.
I appreciate your friendship, and we have been friends a long time.
What I really love about you is this one right here. When I do get to acting like a horse's butt, you'll let me have my moment, and then you'll roll back in, throw a rope around my neck, pull me in, and go, pull it together.
Well, as
and
your
I just
friend,
have to
that's
look
my job.
And I have to look at
that's,
you and go,
that's
okay.
My job.
I have to look at you and go, okay.
You're funny. Folks, don't listen to this man about this. He's been a good friend to me. And I've had my moments as well. And this is what it's about. This is what family is about. This is what friendship is about. This is what community and unity is about.
Exactly.
So really, your fans are is a microcosm of your community. You know? And I'm always going to be down for my community if I can do so. And Brother Bullock has heard me say this many times. If you see me acting in such a way that's not about my people, you will know. You know what? Something wrong with Aline.
Something
wrong with her. Either she's sick or she's hurt or she's had aneurysm. Because people who know me know I'm about our people.
Exactly.
So that being said, man, you know, this Juneteenth thing, see, this is a subject that gets me excited.
Exactly. So Juneteenth. And the thing about Juneteenth is Juneteenth started off December 31st, 1862, and it was called Watch Night Services. Now, what is December 31st? It's New Year's Eve.
Right.
And Watch Night Services, if you're black, you know exactly what Watch Night Services is.
Yes. Because there were some instances where some people were freed on the following day. For some.
Right.
Not for
they all. Were waiting. They were waiting for the December 31st, 1862, Watch Night Services were taking part all over the country, and they were waiting for the stroke of midnight when the Emancipation Proclamation would take effect. And
people
who were supposedly held as slaves within any state or designated part of a state, wherefore all shall there be in rebellion against the United States, shall then and thereforward forever be free.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, when that moment came, people cheered and they sung hymns and Union soldiers marched through towns and some plantations spreading the news of freedom. But, of course, slavery endured.
Yes, it did.
Then on January 31st, 1865, Congress passed the 13th Amendment, abolishing slavery for all time. And then Lee, on April 9th, 1865, surrendered to Grant. 17 days later, Johnson surrendered to Sherman. Still, slavery was up and running.
Yes, it was, especially in the territories on those border states.
Exactly. So, even though we had my man Granger roll up in Galveston and tell all our forefathers and sisters and mothers, y'all free. Y'all can go about your business.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't happen.
No, and let's talk about why it didn't happen, because you had thousands and thousands of black citizens who had no means of support, and many of them wound up working as sharecroppers for those very people who used to own them.
See, this is why I like you, because I was sitting here thinking that, and you came out and said it. So please, take it and run with it for a minute.
It's true, because unless you had some sort of means of support, if you weren't employed doing something, I mean, if you weren't a sharecropper, if you weren't a washerwoman, if you didn't have some sort of viable trade, then you could be listed as a vagrant. And hence the vagrancy laws and the lease. The convict lease programs that proliferated in the South.
If
you were a vagrant, well, they're gonna arrest you. They're gonna put you in jail, and then they're gonna lease you back to some of the former slave owners for free labor. Although the jailers were making money off of you, you weren't making any money off yourself. So you got the sharecropping, you've got the vagrancy laws. And, oh, my goodness, it was just a terrible time. And on the other side of that were the Freedmen's Bureau that popped up and the Freedmen's Schools that popped up that were supposed to help black folks. But there were just too many out there, and there was only a small portion that were helped. And, in fact, some of those Freedmen banks that were run by white people wound up getting looted by white people.
Exactly.
Uh, So anyway, Brother Bullock, if I left anything out about that, you help me out.
Well, you know, the other side of the coin is this. A lot of former slave masters got hip real quick. They realized that former slaves had nowhere to go and that they had to approach them a different way. So, like you said, here comes sharecropping. But they did it in a way to where they would work a certain amount of the farm for themselves, but they would always be in debt to massa once again.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Go on down there to the general store I own and get what you need.
And just
pay me when your crops come in.
Right.
And somehow,
right,
whatever they had went and got always never tallied up to break even.
Exactly.
They were always in the rear.
Exactly. And remember, y'all, remember folks, that it was illegal for most slaves to learn how to read. So how are they going to know whether or not they're being cheated or not? It took some time. Yeah.
You know, and the ones that I really worried about were, and I'm just going to be honest about it, were the sisters who were used as breeders.
Mm-hmm.
And the brothers who was used as bucks, because their only trade was sex.
Right.
Being used by masters, being used to breed other slaves. That side of the coin, a lot of them ended up in cat houses in New Orleans, run by white folks.
Right. Those bordellos, that's right.
They ended up in bordellos. It has not been pretty for our people.
No.
And Juneteenth, which is a day of celebration, and we like to say it's a day of freedom, but is it?
That is the question. Is it?
You saw the slideshow I put together.
I saw the slideshow.
And so at this point, we're going to slide into that.
Okay.
North Carolina. As you notice in the slideshow, you saw a picture, you saw two pictures of Juneteenth celebrations with them folks on the banners.
See? Yes.
And that has been an
ongoing problem. Even when our folks are in charge of the Juneteenth celebration. And let's talk about why that is, why they feel the need to have that kind of representation.
And when I went back and read the article on that in that area, the statement was, well, you say that Juneteenth is a celebration and a homecoming for everybody. Well, shouldn't we be included? Shouldn't we be put in the forefront?
Hey.
You heard what I said? Shouldn't we be put in the forefront?
See. And therein lies the problem. Yeah.
What I come to find out, just like you just said, there was black folks organizing this.
Mm-hmm.
But there was white folks holding the purse strings.
See.
So therefore, that's what they wanted.
So they wanted to appease and make comfortable the white people who were holding those purse strings.
Exactly.
A white face represent Juneteenth. Now, for some of us, and I don't want to overstate this, for some of us, this is an abomination. And I'm trying to say that in such a way that it is perfectly clear what I mean, that Juneteenth should not be hijacked by either white representation or white money. We need to keep something black. And I'm thinking about, like, Furious Styles and Boys in the Hood. It ought to be black. it ought to be black. If white money sources want to help support us, that's fine. But it's not their show. It's not their show. So.
No, it's not. But unfortunately, we got some tap dancers who have given them the idea that, of course, you can be just as equal on this subject as I am, which I think is absolutely crazy. One of the biggest sins to me, and I'm going to say this, and I don't care who get their draws in a ringer, one of the biggest sins to me is you moving Juneteenth out of a black neighborhood and moving
Could
it into an area.
Could you say that again, Brother Bullock, please, for all the folks
you,
in the back who didn't hear you?
You moving Juneteenth out of a black neighborhood and moving it into an area where other folks can reap the benefits and be comfortable, even though they have no problem going anywhere in the city. They can go wherever they want without a problem.
Exactly.
By moving Juneteenth out to these kind of areas, when black folks go out there, they're going to always get the side eye. The police who may be in the area, will always approach them first with that famous question. Why are you out here?
Yeah, what are you doing here?
What
are you doing here?
If it's June, that ought to tell you what they do in there. They are there for a celebration, just like yo.
But even if it is a black organization, the cop is probably thinking, well, aren't you in the wrong part of town? And I'm not saying that we need to limit ourselves. I'm saying that if you have a Juneteenth celebration in a black neighborhood, that means that black people are going to attend it because they understand that it's a black holiday.
And I don't want to hear you moved it because, well, I just felt like economically we weren't getting enough. You weren't getting enough, and you should have worked harder on making it better.
Well, I have gone to Juneteenth celebrations at both a community center in a black neighborhood and a modernized junior high in a black neighborhood, and it was damn near standing room only. I mean, standing room only. There was no – I tell you, Brother Bullock, there was no crime. There was nobody fighting and acting a fool. It was just beautiful, the times that I'm thinking of. So I cannot imagine why the celebration would even need to be moved from a black area unless it was for the comfort and pleasure of somebody else other than black folks.
Exactly. This is what happens when you drink the Kool-Aid, when you allow certain entities to grease your palms, when you take dollars from folks, and then it's like, well, you know, since I did this for you, I feel like this should be over here so that my people can come out and, you know, they don't have to look at so much that doesn't actually fit their aesthetics.
Right. Absolutely. And you know what? You said it very well at the top of the show about people making money. And I want to just read you a quote that I found. It was in an NPR article online. And this is a short quote. It's by a sister by the name of Destiny Adams, who was an NPR writer. And it says, here is the problem of certain groups making money off Juneteenth. It says, while Juneteenth is being commodified, black Americans and black folks in America are still struggling. So you're making money off supposed black liberation and black freedom when that freedom and liberation has not been fully realized. And I think that should apply not only to white groups that are making money off Juneteenth, but individuals who are black individuals or black groups who are making money off Juneteenth and making it more difficult for black folks to enjoy it.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%.
Well, thank you.
Because, you know, the sad part is, and you know and I know, that we have that group that look at it and go, well, you know, this is my holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to take advantage of it.
Mm.
These black folks, they ain't got no right.
See.
And I'm going to get what I need out of it.
Mm-hmm. See. And is that really the kind of unity or community that we're talking about that's supposed to exemplify and be an example of Juneteenth thinking? I don't think so. I don't think so.
I can tell you now. And the funny thing is, nationwide, and I'm not going to say everyone is doing it because they're not.
Oh, no.
But there is a big group out there who is. There is a group out there that's just like, look, I'm going to take Juneteenth and do all I can. Now, in the slideshow, I hope you saw the placard I put up for a group in the Bay Area. If you read that placard, I love what they were standing for, because they decided on Juneteenth they were going to give back to the children. They were going to do some genealogical things.
Mm-hmm.
It really was about the community.
And that is how it should be.
And it was being held in the community.
See.
And they gave an ode to the Panthers by saying they were going to honor their memory and do a breakfast program for all the children who attended that Saturday morning.
See. And that's what Juneteenth should be about, that right there. That's what it should be about. And it's important for us to realize that we have a choice about these kind of things.
Yeah.
You know, you have a choice as an individual. You have a choice if you belong to black groups or, you know, how you're going to do it. This should not be just about making money. I mean, I remember when Walmart was trying to put together that Juneteenth ice cream, and there was a hue and cry across the country.
Well, you
and
saw what I put
take
up.
Take that down off the, yeah, that was part of your slideshow, too. Take that down out of their stores. And this is important. If you want to celebrate Juneteenth, do it by, you know, teaching some young people about their history. Do it by having a cookout. And I'm talking about a cookout for your folks. Do it by, you know, visiting some historical black sites like the group in Oakland. Talk about the ancestors, because the Panthers did a lot that they don't get credit for, including starting their own school there in Oakland, California. And I have visited that site more than once. And
yes,
that's some
indeed.
Powerful stuff. So... it shouldn't be just about making money. But you know what to me is really an affront to Juneteenth is when you have people, black folks, like, I don't know, Clarence Thomas or Tim Scott or Armstrong Williams, you know, Shelby Steele, people like this who use their blackness to get certain things. And it's like, well, I got mine, so I hope y'all get yours.
Exactly.
That's not community, and that's not unity. And this is a perfect time of the year to talk about that, is Juneteenth.
You know, we can look at Juneteenth right here in our area. And, you know, it kind of sickens me that you pulled it out the area. You put it in the area so that you can make basically white folks comfortable. You put it in an area where when black folks go out there, like I said, they're going to get the side eye. If you're having events at River Park, I can guarantee you they're going to get hassled.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And this is one of the reasons why I do not go to River Park. It's not because, I mean, I have gone, but I don't go. I go infrequently. And it's because, number one, I have a problem with them building up North Fresno, Northeast, Northwest Fresno, and leaving downtown and West Fresno to just sort of, you know, die on the vine. But
yeah, it's a language.
Exactly. I don't want to be hassled when I'm spending my money. I don't want to be hassled when I'm there as just a customer, but I'm getting the side eye and I'm looked at sideways. I don't need that extra hassle if I'm spending money.
And that's the killing part.
I just don't need it as a consumer, and so I will keep my dollars in my own neighborhood and let that do.
You know, and it's funny you say that because certain things, they have moved out there to kind of force you to have to deal with that area.
Mm.
It is absolutely crazy. It used to be, it was, let's move it from downtown and we'll move it out to Manchester. We'll move it out to Fashion Fair. Make them come out here.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's River Park. There's a method to their
madness. Now, it absolutely. And so already in our black community, we see that the dollar does not even circulate once before it leaves. And so this is just another example of that, and it's expanding.
Exactly.
I don't understand the logic behind it. I do understand that somebody is making money off of this effort. And while I'm all for unity and love and all that and expanding, I think it sends a clear message when you have a holiday like Juneteenth that remains in West Fresno. I mean, where it should have been. I mean, and I say that, Brother Tony, as somebody whose both parents came from Bryan, Texas. My mother passed at the age of 103, and she remembered celebrating Juneteenth as a girl in her small town of Bryan, Texas. And so Juneteenth has a special meaning for me, and I know exactly how I feel about my holiday, our holiday, being hijacked and repackaged and shipped to a different part of my city.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I understand.
Yeah, I'm clear about
because,
that.
You know, as a youth visiting Texas for the summer, I was able to ride in a few parades with Big Uncle and Grand Nana down there in Eagle, Texas for Juneteenth.
Yeah.
And anybody that tells you black folks don't ride horses, the devil is a lie.
Oh, I know that's right.
And
I know that's right.
In fact, while we're talking about it, my Rowdy Girls will be doing their trail ride in a Juneteenth parade this Saturday.
Hello. That's what I'm talking about now.
And Miss Noel will be on her Palomino Pinto up front.
All right now, Rowdy Girls.
And the dogs will be in the wagon barking and getting their shine on because they ain't going to get left behind.
See, and this is what we're talking about, listeners. This is what we are talking about when we talk about Juneteenth. We're talking about celebrating our history, our young people, our elders, and there's nothing wrong with that. We don't want to have our celebration hijacked by anybody. Brother Bullock, you have got one of your slides in the slideshow for tonight's show from Greenville, South Carolina, where they
right.
have the ad with the white couple.
Exactly.
And it says Juneteenth, an upstate celebration of freedom, unity, and love. Well, the organizers who put that up wound up apologizing for that. And
yeah, they
well,
did.
They should have. Well,
and,
they
and
should have apologized.
Say again what it said on there.
Oh, it said a Juneteenth, an upstate celebration of freedom, unity, and love. Freedom, unity, and love.
Uh-huh.
This was on the banner with the young white couple.
And,
yes.
And remember, this is in a state where they are banning books.
Yes.
They are banning Black history.
Yes.
But it's unity and love.
Right. And they feel comfortable putting a white face on Juneteenth. I mean,
yes,
what
they did.
Is the, yeah, how arrogant can you be to just step in and feel that you could do that and nobody's going to say anything, you're not going to get any pushback? Well, they got pushback on that. They
well,
got
you know what they say.
And, well, they should. Juneteenth is now a federal holiday, but more than that, it is a Black federal holiday. And we
whether they like it or not.
We shouldn't lose sight of that.
You know, and I'm glad you said that. It is a Black holiday. There are still states in this country that refuse or begrudgingly acknowledge Martin Luther King's birthday as a holiday.
That's right.
Arizona's still That's raising it. Hell about it.
See?
Texas still ain't comfortable with it.
Mm-mm.
Alabama's still screaming bloody murder about it.
And yeah. And why is that? Because remember, during Reconstruction and after that, the Jim Crow era, that is when a lot of these southern states started putting up all these statues and shrines and, you know, waving those stars and bars and saying the South will rise again. This is an age-long struggle for
yes,
equality. And I'm with the little sister that said, you know, Juneteenth, it has to be remembered. We're celebrating Black liberation and freedom when at the same time that freedom and liberation has not been fully realized.
No, it has not. And I can be real honest and say,
yes,
I can be real honest and say to those who just kind of see Juneteenth as a way to make money, I'm ashamed of you. I am ashamed of you that you have not really take a look at what Juneteenth is about.
Exactly.
You don't have pride enough in yourself to
See.
Look at your heritage and really
right.
know what Juneteenth
really.
Is about.
I mean, you know, if they want to open that third eye, instead of having a 5K run, let's do a massive food giveaway like the Panthers did. Let's have a huge cookout where we're giving away free plates. I mean, there are many ways to do this other than trying to make certain people comfortable. So I'm with you,
Brother. You are absolutely correct. You're correct. And I can guarantee you, locally, it's going to be the Juneteenth celebration that they're going to have. Then you're going to see some Juneteenth parties, some Juneteenth mm-hmm. dances, some Juneteenth concerts. And for what I understand locally, they plan to run this until the 19th.
Yeah, it started today on the 15th. And because it's not just the holiday, it's a festival. It's a festival. They've turned it into a five-day festival.
And when did Juneteenth become the property of one person? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
never, as far as I'm concerned, the same with Kwanzaa. Nobody has, dibs on Kwanzaa either.
No. You know, my thing is this. One day, somebody going to get smart one day and realize, you know what? They're not doing this right. So let's do a competing thing. Then that's going to start happening. I see it coming.
Right.
Because because they open that book page of, hey, let's go make some money off of this. Instead of going, hey, let's do this for the community.
Well, you know what, Brother Tony, and this was true from early. I remember going to early Juneteenth organizational meetings and things like that, but it always turns out this way in Fresno, whether it's the city council or the county or whatever calling for public input. The public can come out and input, but it's always that few people behind closed doors that make these decisions. And I would posit that the same thing is happening with Juneteenth, because I saw some organizational meetings for Juneteenth, like, oh, well, let's plan this, a planning meeting. But you know, and I know, that when those meetings were over, the people who were in charge of the money already had planned out what they were going to do.
Oh, yeah.
For Juneteenth.
Yeah. Yeah, they sat there and they let people say what they had to say.
Come
but
on.
As soon as that door shut,
mm-hmm.
that cabal got together and said, this is what we're getting ready to do.
And that cabal is exactly what I'm talking. That's a great word for it, because that's exactly how it was, because that's how people do business in Fresno.
That's how it's done.
That's how they do business in Fresno, and it never really works out for the regular guy on the street, whether he is black or white, but usually
exactly.
It's black and brown folks who get the brunt. This
and
time
until,
it just happens to be black folks, yes.
And until people here in this city start realizing that, we're going to always be behind the eight ball.
Thank you.
Today I noticed that the city of Fresno supposed to get $200 million. Instead of getting $200 million, look like we gonna get $50 million. Why? Because Jerry, I'm the mayor, Dyer, playing little silly games.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that money, instead of getting what was gonna be a bulk sum,
mm-hmm.
we will get the $50 million, but that the rest of it, that 150 that's still out there, will drizzle in maybe next year, maybe the year after that, maybe
oh.
the next 2 years after that.
Right.
Because
I saw that.
Yeah. Instead of handling your business, you making these sideshow Bob deals.
See. When will they learn, Brother Boy?
They'll never learn.
When will they learn?
But getting back to Juneteenth, did you see that the Children's Museum of Indianapolis apologized and had removed a Juneteenth-themed watermelon cart from its food court?
I did see that. And thank you so much for bringing it up. I did see that, and I was like, anybody should have realized that was inappropriate to put that on there. I don't care who was
yeah.
in charge of it. I don't care if they were black or white. It's like, no.
Their statement was,
no.
You know, we're going to have to acknowledge that there are some negative impact that stereotypes have on the black community, and that salad has been removed. That salad never should have been put on there.
In the first place. In the first place. But that is that racial historical insensitivity that we talk about so often on this show, that I don't want to even say that, oh, they thought they were doing a good thing. I'm not giving anybody any
no.
props like that.
No.
I'm saying do your research and find out what is appropriate and what is not.
So
that's
I'm going to just tell you, somebody looked at that and in the back of their mind they had that thought. The white privilege card. Don't leave home without it. You know, because I'm telling you, common sense should have, Stevie Wonder could have saw that that was a bad idea.
Exactly. Exactly. Especially when you think about all of the racist cartoons and minstrel shows that involve black folks in this country and watermelon.
Exactly.
Now, I mean, you know, and I'm saying this as a member of a group who has made and shared watermelon jelly with our students. We showed them how
yes.
to make it. And
yep.
with our friends, and submitted it to the Big Fresno Fair. But
yeah, we won awards behind that.
Fresno Freedom School did this, giving our kids a historical perspective about why we were using watermelon in this particular recipe. You know, we didn't just throw it out there. We wanted the kids to understand that
yeah.
we were embracing a certain part of our history and the reason why, not trying to make a mockery out of it. And there are just some groups who, hey, you can't do what we do. You're not in a position to do that. So that's like, you know, white people or white rappers who want to use the N-word, you know, repeatedly. And some
yeah.
of us have a problem with it, and they don't understand why we have a problem with it. Well,
and they don't understand why they catch a beat down behind it.
Thank you, brother. That's what I'm talking about.
Well,
that is what I'm talking about.
In the slideshow, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but Fenway Park, Boston, Massachusetts.
Yes. I did notice
them,
that.
You see them flying the Juneteenth flag.
Yes, I did.
Boston, Massachusetts, Fenway Park, home of the Boston Red Sox. The city
right.
of Boston
and,
there in 1972-73, they had a problem
yes.
with black children being bused to white schools and attacked
That's
school
right.
buses and turned over school
yes.
buses.
Yes, a very racist city at that time.
Man.
But let me just ask you, Brother Bullock, I personally don't have a problem with them raising the Juneteenth flag. Maybe that's part of, you know, their evolution as a city. But now if you're going to fly that flag, you need to make sure that you're doing something for the black residents in that city.
Let me explain to you why that flag got flown up there. It is called branding, and that is what Major League Sports do big time. During the time of Gay People's Month,
Pride
flags went up everywhere. Pride
yes.
flags went up everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But just because you fly the flag, I'm like you.
See?
You need to do something worthwhile. Just
hello.
Don't fly the flag.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly.
See,
don't just fly
I
the flag.
Know you flying the flag, but what are you going to do for black America?
Hello. That's what we're talking about. And that's
what are you
exactly
going to do for the black people in? What are you going to do for black people in the Boston community?
That's right. That's right. How are you going to uplift them and make their lives better? What kind of impact are you trying to have?
Exactly. What
in their community?
Gonna...
I mean, I don't think that's too big of an ask, especially in a city like Boston or actually any place. I don't think that's too big of an ask to find out what are they doing for the black community. And I say that living in Fresno where we already know what the city is trying to do to West Fresno with this reindustrializing of certain parts of our area and how, you know, they're trying to gentrify all of West Fresno. And it sure is not for the edification of black people. They're trying to get us out, and they're
exactly.
trying to change West Fresno into something else. So,
and you know,
Brother Bullock and I are very, very clear about how we feel about our community and how we are talking about this particular issue of Juneteenth.
Exactly.
So they want to fly that flag at Fresno City Hall. What you doing for West Fresno, City of Fresno? What are you doing?
So, well, that was like Walmart. Walmart had to pull their Juneteenth ice cream off the shelves.
They sure did.
Because, again, it's about branding. It's like, ooh, let's put Juneteenth on the name and sell it like that.
Mm-hmm.
And bigger things came out about it because, come to find out, one of the big problems was, and people spoke up about it, was, you know, they had the audacity to do this, and you have to understand there were no black creative minds in the room that had a voice at the table.
That right there. Why didn't they go to a black company or have black people in on the decision-making of that? And they probably would have told them, you know what, that's a bad idea.
HEB, which was one of my favorite stores when I lived in Texas. HEB stands for Herbert E. Butts. Major chain, and I mean, you name it, they got it. But HEB just caught some flack too, because they have these big stores, and they kind of do like Walmart, only they're a whole lot better than Walmart.
But okay.
They had a section display, and I think I put that picture in the slideshow. I'm not sure, but I think I did, where you saw these Malcolm X posters and Booker T. Washington, Martin Luther King. They're selling all these black posters and whatnot during Juneteenth. And they start catching flack for it.
See.
And they had to eat cheese.
See. And
so
and that's the
sign. They had a big sign at the store that said, come and hurry and come get your Juneteenth supplies while they last.
See. Juneteenth supplies. Wow.
Again, you know, let's make money, the gentrification and the monetization of Juneteenth here in America.
This is true. This is very, very true. And
I'm not saying it's only white America doing it, because you and I both know there are black folks who are right in there with them.
Yeah, this is true. And we're not saying that, you know, We have a problem totally with capitalism. Of course you want to make some money. But if you're gonna make some money, you want to give some back as well. Do something for your community as well. And, you know, we don't really expect white corporations to do that, but we damn sure expect black corporations to do it.
Yeah.
So... And if you're not doing it, then what's wrong with you? I'ma just say it. Don't be a Clarence Thomas that, you know, you get yours and it's like, oh well, I got mine, I hope you get yours. No. If we had all felt like that during chattel slavery, there wouldn't have been none of us left. We had to look out for one another.
Don't be one of the people Harriet Tubman would have left behind.
See? Exactly. Well said, brother.
And it is.
Well said.
There are certain times, I'm going to just be honest, there are certain times on this show I say stuff, I'm laughing to keep from crying, because, you know, it is just sad that I look at some of my people and I do realize they ain't got a damn clue. They don't care.
They don't care.
They care.
They don't
about,
care. That third eye has not opened for them.
It ain't open. They care about their bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
They care about what they can get their hands on.
Right. And the hell
but
with everybody else.
And they ain't trying to do nothing for everybody else.
No.
And have the position to do so.
Yes.
I'm going to be real honest.
Yes.
If you have made a deal with the devil and you are getting certain things, why don't you help out your community? Seriously.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I ain't going to point no fingers.
You have to know if you're dealing with the devil, eventually he's going to turn on you as well. But
exactly.
while you're making that deal, do something to help your people before it's too late.
You know, I'm not going to point no fingers. You know who you are. You know who you are. But yet you will show up at certain events and skin and grin and play the role. But the thing about making a deal with the devil is it never turns out the way you expect.
Never.
My grandmother used to say, if you give a dance, you got to pay the band. And eventually, you're going to have to pay the band.
Well, this is true. This is true. And so while some of us, you know, will continue to struggle, I'm not going to say in obscurity, but some of us are going to continue to be that voice in the wilderness. I would rather do that and to keep my integrity than to play around with the devil to the detriment of my people and myself and wind up getting burned up anyway. I would rather.
Exactly. You know, I was it's funny you say that. I was watching a movie called The Devil Conspiracy. And the whole, when you looked at the whole picture, it was what I just said. Making a deal with the devil never turns out the way you expect.
Nope.
Because in the end, you're left holding the bag, and the devil still gets what he wants.
Yep. This is true. This is true. And people need to be mindful of this. All money is not good money. It's just not. And we have to understand that. That's one of the things. That's why free will is so important. You have a choice about how you're going to get money. And what
now,
you're
exactly.
To get it.
Let me read this to you, sis, and then I want you to tell me what you think about this. I'm going to read it to you.
All right.
Oakland's 14th annual Juneteenth Festival is a celebration of Black African culture that has become a family-friendly tradition of thousands in the Bay Area for residents. The festival is a safe space. It serves as a day of reflection and education, promoting wellness, unity, and pride.
See, wow, that to me is what Juneteenth is about, a family-friendly celebration that is about education, unity, and pride. Oakland knows how to do it right.
Oh, trust and believe they know how to do it right.
They know how to do it right. Yes, they do.
And,
the
know,
birthplace
I'm
of Black
sitting here reading this. I'm sitting here reading this, and let me tell you, it's like they have gone on to say that they're going to speak about the community's rich cultural heritage, contributions to the larger society, fostering a strong sense of belonging.
See.
As well as having a great variety of music, food, merchandise and vendors, wellness workshops, art installation, youth activities, and Father's Day tributes.
Wow. Now why couldn't we do that, something like that, in Fresno? And they're probably doing it, Oakland is known to be, a Black city, but they're probably doing it in an area of the city that's accessible to most everybody.
To everybody. But see,
that is so important.
I'm going to tell you what the problem in Fresno is. Fresno is, I get to run this. I'm going to do it my way.
See?
And this is what I'm going to do.
Wow. Well, they are definitely, when you do stuff like that, and you do it the way that they are currently doing it now in Fresno, You're doing a disservice to your people. I don't care who hears me on this. You're doing a disservice to your people by moving everything out of West Fresno. And I have posted this on Facebook. because I'm making my position clear, Juneteenth belongs on the west side of Fresno. Period. End of sentence.
Yeah.
So we have a choice.
We have a choice, and I wholeheartedly agree with you. And sometimes, you know, you have to look at the choices you make.
Mm-hmm. Right, absolutely, Brother Bullock, because what message is it sending to, okay, so you move it from the west side, you move it to Convention Center. So you move it from Convention Center, and you move it out to River Park. I just have a problem with that. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
I agree with you.
But
now, Juneteenth in Oakland, you want to know where they holding it at?
Where are they holding it?
Lake Merritt.
Okay. City, middle
Who
of
doesn't
the city?
Know
okay.
how to get to Lake Merritt?
See. Everybody knows how to get to Lake Merritt.
I used to roller skate to Lake Merritt from my grandmother's house. My grandmother lived on Athens Avenue off of San Pablo Boulevard. And me and my homies in the neighborhood used to roller skate from the house to Lake Merritt.
When I lived in the Bay Area, Lake Merritt was 10 blocks from my apartment. And so I used to walk it as exercise. I used to do the circuit. It was three and a half miles around. Yeah.
You know, and the beautiful part is we used to get up, and, of course, you know, Saturday was cleanup. We get up, clean up by 11:30, everybody meeting in the neighborhood, and we had them old school skates, you know, the kind you fasten to your shoes with the key and lock them in.
Right.
And we'd break out and we'd start skating. We'd turn the block. By the time we got to the next block, we'd pick up four or five other more homies. By the time we got to the middle of the block, we'd pick up five or four more homies. My cousin Cynthia lived in Berkeley. Her and her partners used to get on AC Transit and they'd roll on down. By 1 o'clock, everybody's at Lake Merritt over on the south side by Storyland.
See? I know exactly where you're talking about. Yeah,
that was the meetup spot, and God, we'd have great times. Lake Merritt was always that spot, and for them
and
to
that's
have
the way it should be.
For them to have Juneteenth celebrations at Lake Merritt, because basically that's downtown Oakland.
That's downtown Oakland. That's downtown.
And everybody knows where it is.
Everybody knows where it is. AC Transit is from all directions of Oakland will drop
you
down
can't miss
there.
It.
You can hit it.
You can get on AC Transit and hit it coming from the north, south, east, and west.
That's correct. That is correct. And believe me, for those of us who have lived in Oakland, we know exactly where Lake Merritt is. I used to work at the Central Public Library on East 14th. And
you can look out
the window from that building and see Lake Merritt. So
yeah, you was right in the middle.
And that's how it should be. But see, the people who organized that in Oakland had a beating heart that loved their people and wanted to make it accessible to their people. And I don't feel that heartbeat right now in Fresno. Maybe next year's celebration will be different. I hope so.
We can only hope so. We can only hope that once again the community will be actually included and welcomed.
Right. And those backdoor deals will not be happening, that the people can decide where they want Juneteenth to happen. Yes.
Exactly.
I agree.
You know, going forward, this weekend, I want everyone to have a fruitful and joyous Juneteenth. Enjoy your people. Learn something about the culture.
Please. And for those of you.
Like I'm feeling it right now. One nation under a groove. Getting down just for the funk of it. Let's do this.
Some of us are funkier than others, especially if you were a teenager in the 70s. But you're absolutely right, Brother Bullock. I'm hoping that people will look at it that way and take it that way. And I'm really hoping that all of the brothers who are fathers, grandfathers, uncles, I hope that they have a safe and beautiful Father's Day, because y'all are so important in our lives.
Yes,
and we want celebrate you. We want to celebrate you always. Yes.
Yes, indeed. And I'm glad you said that, because, you know, I wasn't going to say it, but you took it from me, so I'm going to let it be that. You know, we always get left out, and we kind of get used to it, but.
Well, we have love for y'all, because without you, we wouldn't have any black families. It's a family thing, and y'all are a big, huge part of that. So I have no problem giving the kings their crowns. So for those of you who are going to be celebrating your fathers, your grandfathers, your uncles, your cousins, please do that, because they deserve it. They deserve
it. Like Sly Stone say, it's a family affair.
It's a family affair. Also, somebody from the Bay Area. Hello.
Yes, sir. Yes,
yes
sir.
Indeed.
I've got to meet Mr. Sylvester. I've met him a couple of times, thanks to my cousin them owning a record store.
I have, too. I met him outside his house, because us little kids had it staked out. He was a DJ at what? KDIA Lucky 13.
KDIA.
Yes, indeed. So
yes,
y'all,
indeed.
If y'all from the Bay Area know, have family members, you know what KDIA was in the 60s and 70s. So Sly Stone used to be a DJ on that station. And, yeah, he didn't live that far from where I live in Sunset District in San Francisco. So a lot of us kids would hang out at his house, and he was always gracious and wonderful. Well, you know Brother Bullock. You met him.
Oh, yeah.
You know what kind of brother he was.
You know, Sister Reed, you say that, but a lot of people don't understand KDIA and their sister station, KDIA in Los Angeles. But KDIA in the Bay Area was the heart. It was the heartbeat of the Bay Area.
Hello. Say that.
I'm going to be real honest with you. KDIA was so cold-blooded. You got your Motown. You had your – they had something for everybody, because my Uncle Dan even loved KDIA, and he was a blues man.
See,
but KDIA
played
everybody.
They
played the blues.
Did.
They played R&B.
Did.
They played slow jam. On Sundays, Sundays they gave gospel.
They did. That was during the time when the Hawkins family was really, they was rocking and rolling on KDIA.
And then later on, my cousin Cynthia Knotts, she sung with Emmett Powell in the Gospel Elites. She was their top soprano. And I'm telling you, KDIA gave gospel their props. On Sunday morning, look here, you went to church without having to go to church.
Oh, yeah. I even remember KDIA, and I could be wrong about this, so don't quote me, y'all. Don't send out, you know, hate messages, but I remember them playing Blue Eyed Soul with Young Rascals and people like that, Crystal Blue Persuasion, songs like that. I'm saying that because if my sisters bought something like that, they heard it on KDIA. That's what I'm saying.
Because
your
boy Ball Skaggs was in their main rotation.
Hello. Come on.
And then Michael McDonald was in their main rotation.
Exactly. So, you know, but you had to be good. You couldn't just, you know, be like some fly-by-night Archie kind of stuff. No, you had to be able to sing. And I do mean sang with an A. So.
Because Tina Marika sang, and she sure enough cracked that line up.
Yes, she could.
She cracked that KDIA line up.
So that's what it's about. See, you brought back some old school memories for me. And this
I'm
is
old
what
school.
We're talking about, y'all. We're talking about authenticity, black authenticity. We ain't trying to talk about wanting to be like somebody else. We're trying to talk about us and our heritage and what's important. So let's just keep it real. Let's just
you know,
keep it real as always.
I'm going to tell you one time when KDIA really blew my mind. I was sitting there and I was listening to it, and all of a sudden I heard Johnny Guitar Watson singing, "It's a Real Mother for You." It blew me away.
See, you only going to hear stuff like that on KDIA. You're going to hear the real deal.
And those of us who know the song know how cold-blooded it was.
See, Johnny Guitar Watson, Lord have mercy. People like him, people like Bootsy Collins. They
George
understood.
That's it. But Juneteenth has the ability to be something really great for Black America, and it is up to us not to allow it to be whitewashed. I'm just going to keep it real. We got to keep it from getting whitewashed.
Yeah,
as they've done with a lot of other things. We can't let that happen.
Well said, brother.
Cannot let that happen. Well,
all
sister,
right.
It's about that time. It's about that time. It's about that time.
About that time? Okay. Well, y'all regular listeners know what I'm going to say. And what I'm going to say is it's about a mindset. And since it's about a mindset, stay black until we get back with you. Brother Buller?
Yes, indeed. As I always say, each one reach one, teach one. Those of you who are proficient with your firearms, take your folks to the range. Get them trained up. Get them licensed. Start a neighborhood watch. Start a cop watch. Watch the people who are watching us. We are rolling into 2024. We are getting ready to elect a new president. As of today, the mayor of Miami decided he was going to jump into the presidential race. Hispanic brother who just happens to be a Republican. That Republican field is growing by leaps and bounds. And in all honesty, my thing is, who's going to be for real and who's going to be a perpetrator for the Republican Party? But I will say this, Juneteenth is this weekend. Father's Day is this weekend. Take care of the men in your life. Hug them. Let them know that they mean something to you, because often they get overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
And fathers are important. You may not love us all the time, but we are important, because without us, wouldn't be y'all. So
Take
care of one another. Stay strong. Keep it black till we get back. And until next week, we'll